Hello, this is Pastor Galen from Chicago First Church, and welcome to our podcast. Before we hear the message today, I simply want to say that no matter where you're listening from, we're glad that you're here. We hope that the message will inspire you, instruct you, and help you grow in your relationship with Jesus. If you live in the Chicago area, maybe this podcast could be your first step to joining us at C1 in person sometime, or in our online community that meets every Sunday at c1naz.org/live. Well, thanks again for joining us today. We hope you enjoy the message, and more importantly, we pray that you would experience God and that you're encouraged today. God, we are thankful to be here with you today. I'm reminded as we sing these songs about what we believe and about who you are, that you are the King who sits enthroned. You are the one who is in control, the one who is in power. God, at the same time, I'm also reminded you are the God who is near. You're not far away, but you know who we are. You're with us today, and you care for us, no matter who we are or where we find ourselves in life. God, thank you for your great love for us, that while we were still far away from us, you chose us to die for our sin and then to be raised to new life so that we, in believing in you, may experience new life as well. God, we thank you and we praise you for who you are. In these moments, we individually and together as a community bring to you our burdens, the things that weigh heavy on us, the situations that keep us up at night, that we are longing for a change. God, if it's a relationship, would you be in the midst of that and help bring health and healing in it? If it's a specific situation, we ask for your hand at movement. If we're anxious or timid or shy about something, God, we ask for your strength, your courage, and your peace in our life. We trust that you know, and I trust that you know your people exactly where they are today, and you can give them what they need. God, in these next few moments, as we turn to the message, as we turn to your word, may you speak to us individually today what we need to hear, to be encouraged, to draw closer to you, and to fall more in love with you and to love our neighbors as well. We love you, Jesus. We pray this in your name. Amen. As Pastor Brian preaches today, I would encourage you, maybe you would ask yourself, what would God have to say to me through the message today? We'd also encourage you, if you're here in the house, if you could keep your mask on throughout the service, that'd be great as well. Let's turn to God's word together.
Thank you, Pastor Galen. It would be really difficult to describe for you all of the work that is going on behind the scenes and has been in all the different ministries. If you were at the pre-service, you saw the story about children's ministries and what's happening. Pastor Galen has really kind of produces a lot of these services, and Jeff and Jessica and so many others. Can we just say thank you? Can we do that right now to everybody who's doing all that work? Kanye West was right. Not about everything. but in November of last year, when he dropped an album entitled Jesus is King, and it was meant to celebrate his personal journey, and 169 million streams took place the first week it was out, he was right. Jesus is King. He's not gonna be King someday. We're not hoping that somehow, some way, someday. No, Jesus is King. He is, and now that brings questions from people a lot of times. They'll say, well, if Jesus is King, now, because we have a tendency to do this with our faith. We have a tendency to think that, okay, we're going to believe that Jesus is King, and then someday he's going to be King. This series is going to talk about how Jesus is King. Now, it's not the end time. We're not, you know, there'll be a culmination of all of this, but he's King today anyway. And so we're going to celebrate that and talk about that. And what people will often say, and it's a legitimate question, well, if Jesus is King now, then why? Why are there all of these things going on? And why do bad things happen and all that? We're going to talk about that. But this series was originally entitled Now. And it came out of a season of when I was praying and asking God about, in the midst several months ago, of all of this kind of chaos that we're living in, I ran across a passage of scripture and it reminded me of something. And so as we think about Jesus as king, I want us to go back to the book of Isaiah, but now this is what the Lord says. He who created you, Jacob, he who formed you, Israel, do not fear, for I have redeemed you. I have summoned you by name and you are mine. I just want to say to those of you watching online, to those of you in the room who may be experiencing some things upside down that you've never experienced before, hear this verse as it pertains to you. He knows you by name. He has summoned you by name. He has redeemed you, and you are his. Consequently, since that is true, the prophet says, when you pass through the waters, I will be with you. When you pass through the rivers, they will not sweep over you. When you walk through the fire, you will not be burned. The flames will not set you ablaze. Now notice, it doesn't say there won't be waters. It doesn't say there won't be fire. It doesn't say there won't be wilderness, but something has changed. Forget the former things. Do not dwell on the past. See, I am doing a new thing. Now it springs up. Now it springs up. For some points in my faith journey, I've looked at this verse and said, okay, God's going to start something right now. But really, he started something right then that is continuing to move. Now it springs up. Do you not perceive it? I am making a way in the wilderness and streams in the wasteland. The kingdom of God was coming. Things were changing. In Mark chapter 1, the beginning of the good news about Jesus, the Messiah, it begins. And I would really encourage you to get Pastor Bob's background notes on this week and through this series, because it is the beginning of the good news. This is just the beginning, but something is happening, and it's happening now. The good news about Jesus the Messiah, the Son of God, as it is written in Isaiah the prophet, I will send my messenger ahead of you who will prepare your way. After John was put in prison, Jesus went into Galilee proclaiming the good news of God. The time has come, he said. He didn't say it's getting close. He said the time has come. The kingdom of God has come near. Repent and believe the good news. So there is a movement that is happening right now. Jesus is king. Once on being asked by the Pharisees when the kingdom of God would come, Jesus replied, the kingdom of God is not something that can be observed. Nor will people say, here it is or there it is, because the kingdom of God is in your midst. He says, you're looking for something that has already begun. You're looking for something that is already here and moving. And lest we have any doubt about the fact that Jesus is king, let's remember this familiar passage of scripture from Matthew 28. Then Jesus came to them and said, all authority in heaven and on earth has been given to me, because that's the kind of power the king has. Therefore, go and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit, and teaching them to obey everything I have commanded you. That's obedience language, because Jesus is king. I am with you always to the very end of the age. Jesus is king. The restoration of all things that will come at the end of time, and that will happen, that will come, has already begun in the life, death, resurrection, and continued reign of Jesus Christ. Ladies and gentlemen, there is a different way to live. There is an alternative to getting sucked into these days and times and the cultures culture that is so much leaning away from God. The kingdom of heaven is here. Now, there is both a right now and a not yet. Because the kingdom has begun. It came with Jesus. We can't defute that or refute that scripturally. And yet, not everything is finished. So, for instance, we know that Jesus healed. But not finally and completely. Not everyone on earth was healed. And that time will come. Revelation 21, no more sickness, no more sorrow, no more suffering, no more death. But Jesus brought a little bit of that here. And as the kingdom moves, everything changes. Jesus confronted sin. Jesus confronted evil. But there was still evil on earth when he ascended to heaven. And you say, if Jesus is king, then why doesn't he end all of this? Because he'll end all of this once. And between now and then, he has called us to be part of his kingdom movement that is going to see the salvation of as many people as possible. that is desperately reaching out to try before that final time comes and to recognize that the kingdom is already moving and we can be part of it. So yeah, not everything has been righted yet, but it's begun to be. You think about what the kingdom of God coming to earth. Do you know that the level of hunger in the world is going down? Do you realize, in spite of all the other stats that we got that can be crazy, we're beginning to see some things happen that represent the fact that there are kingdom people out there who are following the movement. And that's why it's so cool to be committed to a local church, to be part of a local church, and be able to experience that. This series will challenge you to step into, live in, experience, advance, and serve the kingdom of Jesus. Not someday, but right now. Now, here's something that I struggled with in my faith journey, particularly early on. I had this thought that I would give my life to Christ, and then essentially I kind of get my ticket, and I'm his, and someday the kingdom's going to come, someday, and there will be a time of that, but my thought was, until then, I just kind of wait right here. The analogy that I have thought about was, if I am standing on the bank, and I'm believing that everything's going to be right one of these days, and it's going to be right one of these days when this boat comes down the river, and I get on the boat, and we go. And in between now and then, I anticipate, I look, I take my bags out, and I'm looking, and I'm looking, and I'm looking, when in reality, what Jesus is saying is, Brian, you're waiting on a boat, just get in the river. It's already flowing. It is already moving. But we have a tendency, even when we get our ticket punched, so to speak, we have a tendency to say, well, the shore is a lot safer. We gather on the shore and we don't actually give ourselves to the movement. We don't actually engage the movement, but we stand on the shore and we wait for the boat. We stand on the shore and we get good at standing on the shore. We'll stand on the shore and debate each other about when the boat's coming and what it's going to look like. We'll stand on the shore and make the shore this amazing place. When in reality, Jesus is saying, step off of the shore, get into the movement. You can do that right now. Jesus is king. There's a different way to live. But you got to step into it. Jesus is king. Stepping into the kingdom of Jesus means there's new leadership in our lives. After all, he's king. He's not a king. He's the king. We respond differently when we have a king. We think differently. We have new priorities. New worldviews. We begin to look through the eyes of Jesus at those around us. New responses. There's new life as a result of stepping into that kingdom. So we got to ask ourselves, we know what the kingdom of man is. We know what those values are. We know what all of that calls us to. Which kingdom are we living in right now? Who is our king? Which kingdom are we walking in, living by, experiencing, advancing, and serving? Which kingdom? What authority guides you? Is it the way you feel? Is it what moves you? Is it the way you think? Or is it Jesus as our king? Now, I have to circle around all these every once in a while. Every once in a while, we take that authority away, you know. It'd be like, oh, Brian, I didn't realize that was our policy. You getting ready to post that thing, right? Oh, I didn't realize that was our worldview. Jesus is king. How do you respond to the world around you? Does the life of the king live in you? Which kingdom? If you have not stepped into the kingdom of God, there is but one step. Now, here's the thing. The only step that we can take is the one I'm going to show you. The reality is that God does the work. We simply take one step. There was a man, there was a Pharisee, a man named Nicodemus, who was a member of the Jewish ruling council. He came to Jesus at night and said, Rabbi, we know that you're a teacher who has come from God, for no one could perform the signs you are doing if God were not with him. Now, he comes at night, and most theologians believe that's because he didn't want anybody to know he was coming. He is, after all, a Pharisee. But he had seen enough of Jesus to go, that is something. That's different. That could be the Messiah, but he's confused because if he's the Messiah, then why is he acting this way? Why is he not turning Rome on its ear? Why is he not making all things right? How can he be here if he's the Messiah? And he's struggling with it. Now watch what Jesus said. Jesus replied, "Very truly I tell you, no one can see the kingdom of God unless they are born again." Now, most of my life, I read that phrase, and I equated that with heaven. You're going to see the kingdom of God. But that actually is not totally appropriate. It's partially true. That's true too. But Jesus is saying, Nicodemus, I realize you don't see it. And you can't see it. Those waters will run past you day after day, year after year, until you are born again. How can someone be born when they are old? Nicodemus asked. Surely they cannot enter a second time into their mother's womb to be born. Can you imagine standing on the bank? Nicodemus is standing there going, you just told me that something needs to happen that can't happen. So send the boat. But Jesus answers, very truly I tell you, no one can enter the kingdom of God unless they are born of water and of the Spirit. Flesh gives birth to flesh, but the Spirit gives birth to the Spirit. Step in. How do we step in? Because being born again is what God does. He gives us new birth. Well, here's where we find that out. Romans chapter 10. But the righteousness that is by faith says, do not say in your heart, who will ascend into heaven, that is to bring Christ down, or who will descend into the deep, that is to bring Christ up. In other words, if we're always looking to bring, we're going to dig it up somehow, or we got to pull it down somehow, he's going, no, I just told you, you're not going to be able to look and see it because it's already in your midst. What does it say? The word is near you. It is in your mouth, in your heart. That is the message concerning faith that we proclaim. If you declare with your mouth Jesus is Lord and believe in your heart that God raised him from the dead, you will be saved. For it is with your heart that you believe and are justified, and it is with your mouth that you profess and profess your faith and are saved. As Scripture says, anyone who believes him will never be put to shame. For there is no difference between Jew and Gentile. The same Lord is Lord of all and richly blesses all who call on him. For everyone who calls on the name of the Lord will be saved. Step into the water. Jesus is King. And if you haven't taken that step, if the phrase born again is not something you're comfortable with, I challenge you. Those are the words of Jesus. We didn't make that up. And so I'm going to pray at the end of this service and encourage you to pray with me to take that step. But there's another question here. For those of us who have stepped into the kingdom, are we living like it? Are we living like Jesus is King? Or is he just, you know, a good friend to have? If he's King, it changes the way that we read the Sermon on the Mount. I mean, do the meek really inherit the earth? That's what he said. It's impactful and it makes a difference. How do we live as a result of it? How are our lives different because Jesus is King? I went to McDonald's, don't judge me. I went for breakfast to get my favorite McDonald's meal, which is the big breakfast. And so I'm going through the drive-thru and I come up to get my food and there was this young lady who is just the happiest person I think I've met in a long time. She's like, good morning, sir. And I'm like, good morning. And she said, so you had the big breakfast? And I said, yes. She said, excellent choice. My favorite meal. I felt like I was at an expensive restaurant, you know, where those waiters will come up and they'll say, excellent selection, sir. And I thought, does she realize she's at McDonald's? She's not making a lot of money. She's dealing, I mean, we gripe about having to wear a mask for a few minutes. These folks are wearing them for hour and hour and hour, and they're in a fast food restaurant. That's a tough place to be. But that young lady had made a decision. She was going to get the best out of it. And they may not have been paying her much, but she was going to earn it. And handing food out to people, and you know, anytime you deal with the public, it's tough. Something made a difference for her. So how can we, who know Jesus is King, respond any other way? I want to live in this sense kind of frame of mind. Sense. Since, I'm going to give you scriptures fast. Therefore, since we have such a hope, we are very bold because Jesus is King. So we fix our eyes not on what is seen, but on what is unseen, since what is seen is temporary and what is seen is eternal. Jesus is King. Since then, we know what it is to fear the Lord. We try to persuade others. Therefore, since we have these promises, dear friends, let us purify ourselves from everything that contaminates body and spirit, perfecting holiness out of reverence for God. But why? Because Jesus is King. Therefore, since we have such a hope, we are very bold. Since we live by the Spirit, let us keep in step with the Spirit. We're going to talk about that later in the series. But since we belong to the day, let us be sober, putting on faith and love as a breastplate and the hope of salvation as a helmet. Therefore, since we have a great high priest who has ascended into heaven, Jesus, the Son of God, let us hold firmly to the faith we profess. Therefore, brothers and sisters, since we have confidence to enter the most holy place by the blood of Jesus, let us draw near to God with a sincere heart and with the full assurance that faith brings, having our hearts sprinkled to cleanse us from a guilty conscience and having our bodies washed with pure water. Therefore, since we are receiving a kingdom that cannot be shaken, let us be thankful and so worship God acceptably with reverence and awe, for our God is a consuming fire. Therefore, since we have a great high priest who's ascended into heaven, Jesus, the Son of Man, let us hold firmly to the faith we profess. I come back to. Since. So, living in the kingdom of Jesus is a different way of life, and I'm learning it. This last week, I had probably one of the most humble, most active servants that I've had the chance to work with, a part of C1. It's a great, this man and his wife are involved in ministry, and they sacrifice, and they serve, and they love, and they're just incredible. But my friend called me, and it was early in the week, and he called me, and he said, "Hey, man, I just need to talk." He said, "I'm just tired, and I'm angry." He goes, we began to talk about the issues that were upsetting to him. And now I'm his pastor. We're kind of co-leaders, right? But I'm his pastor. But when he called me and he said, "I'm angry," I go, "I'm angry too." And then I begin to add to his anger. We were talking about different issues. And I said, "Not only that, but did you know this?" He's like, "No." And I go, "Yeah." And we just, and then the Lord's like, "Hey, Brian," like we were going to jump off the cliff together. And in that moment, the Lord dropped this into my spirit. And I told my friend, I said, "You know, you called me for help. The Lord used your call to me to get me help. What's a pandemic plan with the kingdom?" Well, first of all, guard your heart. Guard your heart. You are swimming in a river of toxicity, unlike anything most of us have known for a long, long time. It's a really, now this is for me. This is Brian's, I'm talking to myself, so don't be upset what I'm about to tell you. It's a really good time to keep your mouth shut. Don't drink the water. Guard your heart. The best way to do that is go to the best heart doctor there is, Jesus, and allow him to tune you. So years ago when I learned to play the guitar, the hardest thing was to keep that thing in tune, man. I mean, it was just... It just was really, really difficult to do. And so then I got an electric tuner, and I didn't know how to use that, and it was hard. Well, recently I bought another instrument, and now I found out there's these little clips, these little tuners you just put on the end, and you can just, you know, it's easy. And I thought, that's what I need on my heart. I need a tuner that will tune my heart to the fact, and my mouth, to the fact that Jesus is King. Someone told me after the first service, one of the musicians said, "Hey, you know those tuners don't tune, those little tuners you put on, they don't tune by sound. They tune by vibration." Ooh. Sometimes sound can be deceiving, but the Lord knows what's really going on in our heart. Guard your heart. Secondly, he said, Wangler, find your lane. Find your lane. Hebrews 12:1, "Since we are surrounded by such a great crowd of witnesses, let us run with perseverance the race laid out for us." You and I have been called to play a role. There's things that God wants to do. We need to find them and do it. If you try to solve all the world's problems, you're not going to solve anybody's problem. But if we will run the race God's called us to run and do what he's called us to do in a given moment, instead of trying to figure out what everybody else should be doing, but we apply ourselves and we run in the lane that he's called us to, that's a pretty good plan. And that lane always, always is focused on the fact that as you run, Jesus is King. Then lastly, trust God. Trust God. Psalm 46, remember, he said there'll be streams in the wasteland. There'll be a way in the wilderness. Not that there won't be wasteland, not that there won't be wilderness. When you pass through the waters, not that there's not going to be waters and fire to pass. Now, it doesn't say any of that. But he says, when that happens, know that I am with you. One of our board members read this. We always have this thing. We start out board meetings by asking, what's Jesus been saying to you? And one of our board members read this a couple weeks ago when we met, and it's kind of caught on. We've talked about it in lots of settings. God is our refuge and strength, an ever-present help in trouble. Therefore, we will not fear. Why? Well, Jesus is King. Though the earth give way and the mountains fall into the heart of the sea, though its waters roar and foam and the mountains quake with their surging, there is a river whose streams make glad the city of God, the holy place where the Most High dwells. God is within her and she will not fall. Nations are in uproar, kingdoms fall. He lifts his voice and the earth melts. Come and see what the Lord has done, it goes on to say. He says, be still and know that I am God. I will be exalted among the nations. I will be exalted in the earth. The Lord Almighty is with us. The God of Jacob is our fortress. So, which kingdom? I want to take a moment because the thought about the waters roaring and foaming and the mountains quaking, for somebody, maybe watching online or maybe in this room this weekend, for somebody that's not a thought. That's what happened this week. The world was turned upside down. And there's pain, and there's a wasteland where a marriage used to be. There's a desert, there's a wilderness, and you're wondering if there's a way. I need you to hear me. There is. There is a river that flows from God, that flows right through can flow right through your heart. And for those of us who are believers, we're the river. It's our job to carry that message. May God help us to tune our lives to the fact that Jesus is King. So we don't fear what others fear. We don't focus on what others focus. We follow our King, the King of Kings. Let's pray. Lord, I first want to lift up those who may be watching or those who are in the room for whom the phrase born again, they have talked to you and they've adapted their life to faith and they may have even prayed and all of that, but the born again has eluded them. In the name of Jesus, we claim your promise that everyone who calls on the name of the Lord will be saved and all of us can step into this new stream of life, this new way of living by your grace and by your mercy and experience a movement. And then, Lord, I pray for all of us who have already taken that step. It is so easy for us to get distracted. It is so easy for us to begin to forget the stream that we're a part of. I pray for a fresh cleansing, a fresh filling. I pray, Lord, that you would sweep through this audience and those watching online right now, and that there would be clarity, that you would do what only you can, which is remind us of the movement that we're a part of. Thank you, God, for the fact that right now, right here, Jesus is King, and let that river flow. Amen.
Thanks again for joining us on C1's podcast. If you're interested in your next step in growing your relationship with God, go to c1naz.org and click on Next Steps. There on our website, you can also find our service times and more information about our church. We'd also invite you to subscribe to our podcast so you'll always have the newest episodes. And feel free to share today's podcast with a friend who might need to hear it. Thanks again for joining us, and have a good day.